You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're answering a listener question from the Locked On Bears Facebook group talking about which Chicago Bears players look like they're headed for a Pro Bowl season. It gives us a great opportunity to take a look back now at the halfway point of the 2018 season, 8 games underneath the Bears' belt. And we'll look at both sides of the ball, who would potentially make it if the season ended right now, and who needs to really put together a strong second half of the year to potentially have a shot at that trip to what I think is now permanently Orlando, if it's not Hawaii anymore. And then we'll also go through some season awards at the halfway point, MVP, you know, offensive, defensive player of the year, all that stuff to try and give a more holistic understanding of where this Bears team stands halfway through the season. So the question today comes from Cody Walker in the Locked On Bears Facebook group. If you'd like to join the conversation there, just go on to Facebook, search Locked On Bears group, or go to the Locked On Bears Facebook page. There's a button right on there to take you to the group. Just request to be added. I will make sure you're a real person and not just a spam bot trying to infiltrate our ranks, and you can join in on the conversation. And Cody asked, if the Pro Bowl was tomorrow, what Bears players do you think would make the cut? And he thought specifically the defensive side of the ball would be where there's a little bit more action. But I want to start with the offense, because I think there's a little bit more of a discussion to be had there about a few individuals, and then, of course, it'll be easier to wrap up with the defense after that. Because, you know, the Bears' offense has put up plenty of points this year. They've done enough to win 5 games, I mean, really through 8. And, you know, the defense has scored along the way as well. But this is an offense that collectively is performing well. But when you start to look individually at who could really be putting together a Pro Bowl effort, I mean, it really feels like more of a Pro Bowl scheme that's allowing individual players to produce at a higher level without necessarily individually dominating. You know, with Allen Robinson's injury, he's 3rd on the team in receiving yards. Taylor Gabriel's still kind of your number 2 receiver, despite, again, leading in the statistical category. And Tariq Cohen is technically your 2nd leading receiver on this team, but that's not enough to make the Pro Bowl at running back. And, you know, Trey Burton's not really up there with the top of the top producing tight ends from a receiving standpoint, just hasn't been as involved offensively. So for me, the guys that are borderline Pro Bowl players this season through the first 8 games come on the offensive line. I think Charles Leno has played close to a Pro Bowl level. And of course, as we'll kind of come back to throughout this discussion, the Pro Bowl is so much a popularity contest, so we'll try not to look at it from a who is popular standpoint and purely a who has performed like a top player at their own position. And from a pass protection standpoint, Charles Leno has been one of the league's best left tackles, and especially when you parse it down to NFC versus AFC and you start to look at how many NFC left tackles have been up there with him. I mean, of course, you know, you've got Teron Armstead of the Saints and David Bakhtiari of the Packers continuing to have pretty strong seasons, and you can throw Andrew Whitworth of the Rams in there as well. But, you know, even there's, I think, is where you start to get a little bit cloudy with Charles Leno. And, you know, what holds him back for me is the run blocking. It's never been his strength. And it's not that he's been bad necessarily in that area. He hasn't been great, but hasn't been terrible either. And when you start talking about the most well-rounded, effective Pro Bowl left tackles in the NFL, you got to be able to do both at a high level. We're seeing Leno pass block at a high level, run block at closer to an average to slightly above average level. So he kind of sits borderline there. And then I would even put Cody Whitehair in this borderline Pro Bowl category, where you're looking at guys that are probably the top 10 of their position, but when you consider that, you know, two or three are going to make the Pro Bowl from their conference, that just leaves them on the outside looking in. Whitehair has yet to allow a sack this season, according to Pro Football Focus. Six hurries, no hits, and no sacks on quite a few pass blocking snaps. And for a guy that there were some real concerns about before the year, he's stepped up in a big way and gotten back to the level we've seen from his earlier years in the league. So those two guys are, for me, the closest borderline candidates that you have right now. But I do think if this player is able to put together a strong second half of the season and really kind of take his game to a much higher level for the last eight games, he could join in the conversation to make the Pro Bowl. And that is tight end Trey Burton. You know, among tight ends, he is actually ninth in receiving yards, has five touchdowns already this year, and has done a pretty good job exceeding my expectations as a blocker, although, of course, that doesn't necessarily seem to come into the discussion for the Pro Bowl nowadays. But you look at the NFC tight ends, I mean, Zach Ertz in Philadelphia producing very well. George Kittle with the 49ers is really kind of more the breakout tight end story of the season, if you're not keeping up with what's going on there. O.J. Howard has more receiving yards than Burton right now, and as does Jimmy Graham in Green Bay. So among NFC tight ends, just in terms of purely receiving yards, Burton is still, fifth out of the guys I mentioned there. But if he can really come on in a big way and become more of the focal point of the offense through this second half of the season, I think Trey Burton could have a chance at an NFC Pro Bowl spot at tight end. I don't think at this point Jordan Howard has much of a shot. I mean, it would take just an incredible stretch for the second half of the season, and just based on what we've seen from him, I don't think that type of production is really going to be possible, especially with just the depth of running back talent across the league and across the NFC. I don't think there's much of a chance there. I also don't think Allen Robinson or Taylor Gabriel really has much of a chance. Again, they'd both probably need another extra 1,000 yards beyond what they've done so far to even push for that spot, and a lot of wide receiver talent in that NFC. But the one other offensive player who I think might have the best shot of making the Pro Bowl wouldn't really be on offense, and that's Tariq Cohen in the punt return game. You know, I look overall, he is seventh in yards per punt return, but all six guys ahead of him are in the AFC. He leads the NFC in yards per punt return on average, I think just a hair over 12. And in the league as a whole, there have only been three punt return touchdowns, all in the AFC. So really, I think right now Tariq Cohen is your NFC Pro Bowl punt returner. And if he can kind of maintain that without letting anybody else on any other special teams unit really emerge in that second half, I think right now Tariq Cohen is in position to make the Pro Bowl for that punt return game purely. If any of the Bears' offensive players want a chance at the Pro Bowl, they're going to have to boost their performance here in the second half of the season. And if you're sitting at home feeling like you need to boost your performance when it comes to the bedroom, then you need to check out Blue Chew. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships directly to your door in a discreet package, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy, you don't have to go, you don't have to wait, and you don't have any of those awkward in-person doctor visits. Right now, we've got a special deal for Locked On Bears listeners. Visit BlueChew.com, that's BlueChew.com, and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping to get it to your door, and Blue Chew will do the rest. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Bears. Up next, we'll look at the defensive players making the strongest case for the Pro Bowl, including a couple guys I think might be sitting on the fringe, and a strong second half of the season might just be enough to push them over the top. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So today we're answering a question from the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Cody Walker asked, if the Pro Bowl was tomorrow, what Bears players do you think would make the cut? Specifically on the defensive side of the ball is what he was wondering, because they clearly have a few guys with a much stronger case than the offense, like we had just talked about. I think the headliner is, of course, the headliner of the Bears defense, Khalil Mack. I mean, we talked before, you know, the Pro Bowl is often a popularity contest, more so than what players were able to actually necessarily produce. And I think Khalil Mack certainly has the headlining name to potentially make that distinction. Certainly, he was playing at that level through the first four games, but then, of course, the injury has really kind of taken the energy and the juice out of his season. But if he can get healthy again, you know that second half of the season is going to be Pro Bowl caliber, and he should be earning that All-Star honor when it's all said and done. And the way it looks now, I mean, the Bears might have multiple Pro Bowlers this year. I mean, I think, but just based purely on performance, Akeem Hicks absolutely deserves it, no doubt about it. You know, I know you look at his three sacks so far, you can double that for six, and it's still going to be less than what he had all of last year. But he has been, once again, a monster against the run. I mean, just demolishing blockers at times, single-handedly blowing up runs, and certainly consistently redirecting ball carriers into the arms of, say, a Roquan Smith to help get him to 12 tackles, or, you know, getting Danny Trevathan free runs to the ball carrier, being able to just kind of eat up those blocks. That doesn't always get the same kind of Pro Bowl recognition, and so I think in order to make it on that defensive interior in a conference with Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox and some of these real strong defensive linemen across the interior, Kenny Clark in Green Bay, DeForest Buckner in San Francisco, there's a lot of these good defensive linemen and not always a lot of Pro Bowl spots to give to him. So Hicks has to keep it up, has to potentially step up the pass rush production a little bit more just to kind of hit that popularity contest mark, because purely from an on-field performance overall, he is doing more than enough, I think, to deserve that trip to the Pro Bowl. And then, you know, another guy, Bryce Callahan, you know, if the Pro Bowl picked true slot cornerbacks, I think Callahan should be a Pro Bowl player just from a pure nickel position, but the Pro Bowl only picks really the top outside cornerbacks, the number one cornerbacks on each team, which is, I think, fair and understandable, which brings Kyle Fuller into the discussion, because I think over the last couple weeks, he's playing like a Pro Bowl cornerback. Now, I wasn't crazy about his start of the season. I thought there was some vulnerability and some volatility early on this year, but man, these last couple games, these turnovers have been coming. I think he's now up to 4 picks and 8 pass breakups so far this year. Phenomenal against the Bills, although, again, we're talking about Nathan Peterman, and if he can continue that high level of play through these tougher opponents coming up, especially this NFC North slate, I think you could be looking at a potential Pro Bowl season from Kyle Fuller if things can kind of stay at this level. But we know he's had some career ups and downs up to this point, so I'm not sure how much we can expect moving forward, but it's something to definitely keep an eye on here as we continue. Then lastly on the fringe here is Eddie Jackson, because, you know, he hit a little bit of a rough patch, you know, against the Dolphins and a little bit against the Patriots, and had some missed tackles and just not being able to play quite as aggressive. But as you saw the pass rush pick back up against the Bills, you saw the playmaking pick back up, and no one embodies that more than Eddie Jackson. And, you know, it seems like you look at the state of the safety position in the NFL, there's not a ton of, you know, headliners at this point, with Earl Thomas hurting kind of out of the picture. I mean, you're talking about DJ Swearinger in Washington, and, you know, Harrison Smith, of course, with the Giants, is always going to be up in that mix. But put Eddie Jackson right up near that conversation. Again, a little bit more of a fringe Pro Bowler at this point. But if he can finish this season out strong and continue to make plays on the ball, get more turnovers generated, you know, be locked down in coverage as we've come to expect, He's got the makings of a Pro Bowl player. He's got the makings of a Pro Bowl season. I'm not necessarily ready to put him in there yet after 8 games, but 8 more games, you know, sitting at this halfway point, it's been a great start for him overall. Some flashes of elite safety play and overall above average safety play. And we're just a few more big performances, I think, from a potential Pro Bowl safety in Chicago, which is really something that's been a long time coming. We haven't seen great safety play on this defense in a long time, but Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos, too, are bringing it this year. But, of course, Jackson and Fuller will be subject to the popularity contest of the Pro Bowl, and it's going to take those kind of headline-grabbing performances and maybe some fan push as well on social media to help make them more of a household name, because I don't know if people that cover and watch other teams know a ton about, you know, the performances of Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson. But I do know the best place to find that coverage of every other team is here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're really doing some new cool things when it comes to social media, particularly Twitter and Instagram. If you go to Twitter and follow the Locked On NFL Net, it's at Locked On NFL Net, it gives you all the local Locked On Podcast Network hosts covering their NFL teams on one feed. So you get my tweets about the Bears, but you get everybody's tweets. Mark Schofield tweeting about the Patriots. And yes, unfortunately for some of you, Peter Bukowski's tweets about the Green Bay Packers. You can just scroll through those, but it's a great place for all sorts of NFL content on every team, bringing you the local experts. Still to come, we hand out the mid-season awards for the Chicago Bears. No popularity contest like the Pro Bowl. Just breaking down which players have been the most valuable, the most impactful, the most successful, the most improved, and even we'll throw Coach of the Year in there as well. That's next on Locked On Bears. Today we're evaluating the Bears at the midpoint of the season, and if you've been listening to Locked On Bears here for the last few episodes, you know I am coming to you live from Australia, a good, I think, 14 hours ahead of the central time zone, so I apologize if you can hear the birds, bugs, critters, and kangaroos, dingoes, wallabies, etc. in the background here behind the podcast, but I think I've got it to a good point here where you just hear my voice and can't really pick up everything else going on around me down under here. But we are looking at the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears go worldwide. And now that we're at the midpoint of the season, we can kind of take a look at, okay, if they had to hand out these awards, the yearly NFL awards, specifically to the Bears, where would we distribute them? And I want to start with most valuable player, because it always bothers me that the NFL award for MVP tends to just end up being best player. Who is the best player in the NFL? He is therefore the most valuable, but I like to think of it more as value. You know, who provides the most for their team, even if he's not necessarily the best player? Who is the most important player on that team, where you remove that player and things go significantly worse? And, you know, obviously the quarterback is the most valuable position. And so, you know, you can always kind of say, well, Mitch Trubisky and the quarterback. But quarterback aside, I think we saw over a few weeks there in a row that the most valuable player on this Bears team this year was Khalil Mack. You know, through those first four games, he was single-handedly leading this defense to some dominating performances, and it was his pass rush. We've talked a lot about the ripple effect, the pass rush having that effect on the secondary to be able to make more plays and be more aggressive in coverage, taking some of that pressure off of the offense. And it wasn't really until the Bills game that this defense looked like truly its old self. I mean, we saw some of it against the Jets, but since Khalil Mack has been injured and sidelined, you know, the Dolphins game and the Patriots game were not the Bears defense that we had seen through the first four. And the Jets were starting to be some of it, but still a few too many mistakes here and there, and not the all-around dominating performance that we started to really see against Buffalo and Nathan Peterman. So Mack's absence and his presence really can make all the difference in the world with this defense. And for me, he is the first half of the season MVP. But then as far as defensive player of the year, like the defensive player that's actually playing the best, I mean, I think there's a discussion there for Kyle Fuller, a discussion there for Eddie Jackson, but it's got to be Akeem Hicks just having another phenomenal season. Like we talked about as a Pro Bowl player through the first eight games, it's not been about the pass rush and the sacks necessarily, although the pressures have been there, you know, not getting home, but disrupting the quarterback, it's been there. But from a run defense standpoint, this guy is one of the best in the NFL. And for me, that makes him pretty clearly the defensive player of the year for the Bears. Offensive player of the year is a little bit harder to pin down. And I kind of sway back and forth between two players because on one hand, you have Charles Leno playing pretty top-notch left tackle. Like I said, from a pass protection standpoint, not quite all there from a run blocking standpoint. And, you know, you kind of don't realize or value necessarily how important that lockdown left tackle has been. You know, you don't really notice it because he does a good job. And you only notice through your left tackle when he's been bad, you know, like we saw for so many years surrounding this team, right? But then on the other hand, you have Tariq Cohen, who is second in the team in receiving yards, 406, three touchdowns in the passing game as well. But, you know, he's not dominating in the ground game. He's picking up yards when he's asked to, but, you know, he's only got 49 carries through eight games and 230 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he's been an effective all-around player and a focal point of the offense, but, you know, does second in receiving yards and second in rushing yards, does that constitute the best offensive player on the team this year? I tend to lean Charles Leno just because I have a bias towards offensive linemen not getting enough credit, and certainly in these types of awards, it's always the skill players that get credit, and I think there's a really, really strong a case to be made here for Tariq Cohen, but I don't know. I just feel like you don't really appreciate Charles Leno until you realize how much worse it could be. Rookie of the Year is also a little bit hard to pin down because you've got some good candidates there, but I can't help but lean Bilal Nichols, and it's disappointing that he didn't get a chance to eat against the Buffalo Bills, but, you know, Roquan Smith's been good, but not, you know, great, lights out, you know, top, you know, overall rookie-type performance, and same with Anthony Miller. A lot of great flashes, some individual great performances, but overall, he's not dominating on the field game in and game out, and it's not necessarily that Bilal Nichols is doing the same thing, but when you talk about the rookie having a huge impact, even coming from as a fifth-round pick, I mean, maybe it feels like it's counting it twice a little bit that he maybe hasn't been dominant either, but because he's playing at such a high level as a fifth-round pick, it's that much more impressive. I mean, overall, Roquan Smith is having the biggest impact of any rookie player, but that's not necessarily what I feel like this award, when you talk about the Bears specifically, should measure, and I think the standout rookie player of the year through the first eight games is Bilal Nichols. Then when it comes to most improved player, there's a few different players that you can kind of have this discussion on. I mean, you talk about Allen Robinson coming off of an injured season, that he's more of a comeback player of the year type thing. Taylor Gabriel leading the team in receiving yards. It's a little bit of a step up for him from what he's been able to do in recent years. And Kyle Fuller seems to be taking a nice bump. Eddie Jackson taking a nice bump. But the guy that I just can't get off of for this type of award is Cody Whitehair at center. You think about last year, a lot of issues at the center position, moving him around a lot, and then even coming into training camp in the preseason, it was some high snaps, some talk of, okay, maybe James Daniels needs to be starting at center and, you know, move Whitehair to the bench or trying to move him back to guard, and real question marks about, okay, where is this guy going to fit in the offensive line? But he's been pretty darn solid at that center position. You still see some missed, you know, some slightly higher low snaps here and there, and he's not been a perfect center by any means, but we already talked about him as a potential fringe-ish Pro Bowl player at the center position this year, so for me, that's got to be the most improved player anywhere on this roster. And finally, I want to wrap up with Coach of the Year, and more specifically, it's, you know, an assistant-type Coach of the Year, because Matt Nagy clearly, I mean, if you had to pick a Bears coach making the biggest impact, well, it's the head guy scheming up this offense to a 5-3 record. And then, you know, from a coordinator standpoint, those guys always kind of deserve more credit than the assistants underneath them. So as far as assistant coach of the year, you know, the coach getting his position group to play up, you know, above and beyond maybe where they should have or where they were expected to, and getting the most out of the players that he does have, I go defensive line coach Jay Rogers. You know, Akeem Hicks, a Pro Bowl caliber season. Eddie Goldman, another strong year, enough to get him a big contract extension. Bilal Nichols, playing like your rookie of the year, completely up exceeding expectations as a fifth-round pick. You know, Jonathan Bullard has been clearly, I think, the one disappointment there, but Roy Robertson-Harris keeps getting to the quarterback, keeps getting those great rotational pass rushing snaps. And then even last week against the Bills with Bilal Nichols out, Nick Williams gets in the game and gets some pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they're getting, what would that be, five deep defensive line making an impact, particularly as pass rushers. And your number six there would be Jonathan Bullard. So I think this defensive line group is playing really well. Really playing, you know, expectations I'm sure were high for Hicks and Goldman, but the fact that you're getting a lot more from the other four guys, or at least the three not named Jonathan Bullard, I think that's really been making a huge difference defensively, and there's no other position group that really seems to have stepped up as much from top to bottom than this defensive line. Those are my personal picks for the Bears midway through the season awards for MVP, Offensive, Defensive, Player of the Year, etc. If you disagree with me, feel free to join in the conversation on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. That's where Cody Walker asked his question about the potential Pro Bowlers at this point in the season. Like I said at the top, just go to Facebook, search Locked On Bears group, and you can join in with everybody on there. You can also join the conversation with the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. Give us a call, give us a text, and we can get to them even well, I'm down here in Australia, even on the other side of the planet where I'm upside down and 14 hours into the future from where most of you listeners are. There's still plenty of time for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Make sure you're subscribed if you're not already, and make sure you find a good reason to bear down.